Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the very serious, somber, dangerous subject today of crushing free speech, the conservative purge. And we could say the conservative Christian purge. And we've got a couple of callers on the line that we're talking with today, interviewing Mike Hill, former congressman in District 1 in the state of Florida. Mike is a wonderful guest and always enjoy, and I'm always blessed by his comments and his insight on the issues of the day. So I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that it's a blessing to you, that it's informative, and it challenges us to be salt and light as God has called us to be. Joseph, I believe you're on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Perilous times have arrived, and buckle your seatbelts for 2021. I totally agree with you and your guest. You know, the evil always seeks to intimidate and dominate, and for casual Christians, it looks pretty scary, but you got to be like David and face that 10-foot giant. But, you know, Christians are to resist steadfast in the faith and in the face of evil. They may try to crush free speech, but I don't think it's possible with millions of people who own computers and printers. I am concerned that if censorship and financial persecution of conservatives and Christians is backed up and confirmed by the courts, then pressure will rapidly build for severe conflict and possible rupture of our country.
Joseph, you're exactly right, and I believe that as David said, when his brothers basically were mocking him, laughing at him for wanting to go out and face the giant, he said, is there not a cause? And I believe there is a cause for us today as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, and that cause is the preservation of our constitutional republic. And it demands that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and cease the silence. But the major thing we can do is keep praying and realizing that God is still on the throne. Looking at an article that says, the night of long knives, the textile. Today could well be characterized as America's night of long knives, the day Big Tech put on its major push to maximize its position of fascist strength. Parler is running out of the clock to maintain the semblance of free speech, and they've shut them off. It was 24 hours ago that Twitter, Facebook, and others decapitated our elected leader by destroying his major voice box. Thirdly, it says, lesser known is what's happening to millions of Twitter fans and Trump fans and other Twitter fans and followers who are similarly deplatformed. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi pushes ahead with the second impeachment of Donald Trump, with some Republicans pledging to join in their festivities. The left is moving ahead at warp speed in their destructiveness. They've forgotten all about the death of COVID victims in the battle of being scorched earth to the conservatives. Long knives, you ask, but no one has been killed. No one has been arrested. No one has been detained. Yet, not yet, perhaps. This is so far a bowlless, bloodless revolution. That's the nature and efficiency of big tech. But how are we going to fight back when we can't even talk to each other, i.e. the internet, etc.? It's diabolical, right out of the Chinese Communist playbook, this writer says. But thank you, Joseph, for your call. Congressman, hang on. We've got a caller. Robert, go ahead. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, I got a question. I got a question for you. Do you still have a Sunday night service? Because my work schedule has changed. And the other thing is I told my wife, I believe this is the precursor for the month, because you won't be able to buy or sell anything without this COVID thing. I was just wondering what you thought.
Absolutely. And number one, yes, we have a service on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. 99% of the churches in our city, about 1,600 houses of faith, if you will. Out of that 1,600, very, very few have Wednesday night and Sunday night services. We do. Multitudes are still closed. We've not closed our doors yet. Don't intend to. And so number two, your question in relationship to what we see, we're on warped speed, as one writer called it, headed for what is the ultimate after the rapture of the church during the days of the tribulation, when the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will step on the scene and will rule as a dictator of all of the nations, and you will not be able to buy, sell, trade, or open your business, go to school, go to college, buy a car, et cetera, lest you have the mark. And the COVID vaccine is the coming ultimate. It's the first iteration of what shall ultimately be called the COVID pass, which ultimately will become that mark of the beast that's talked about in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. So you're exactly right. You're on target theologically, and we are delighted to have you on board with us by way of radio. Love to have you visit with us in church. So, Robert, thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Congressman? Thanks. When we look at what is taking place, and, for example, the article that I just read a little smidgen of, The Night of Long Knives, they have literally pulled out the long knives. They are, and the long knives philosophy here in this document is talking about what big tech is doing, and it's basically undercutting everything that we've known to be constitutional liberties and our freedom of speech and our Bill of Rights. How do you respond to that, and what should we do when we see major companies? The National Association of Realtors just made an announcement that they are going in and monitoring all of their brokers and their salespeople across the nation. And if anything is said about Trump, anything said about the coup in the election, anything that's said about that, you will summarily be fired. Now, what do you call that other than censorship? What do we call that other than total dictatorial control? And how should we, the people, respond, Congressman?
Well, this is a culmination of what we have been seeing happening, taking place over about the last 4 years or so. It really accelerated when Obama was in office, and that was there were certain things you could not speak out against. For example, you could not speak out against the LGBTQ agenda or any person without being fired. You could not speak out against BLM without possibly being fired. And now if you just express conservative viewpoints, you can be fired. If you express support for President Trump, you can be fired. So it's all a culmination and acceleration of what we saw happening since Donald Trump has been in office, and which started with President Obama being in office for 8 years. Now, a week ago, I was on your show, Dr. Youngblood, and I made this statement. I said, I believe that on January 20th, President Donald Trump is going to be sworn into office. And the reason why I believe that so strongly at the time is because we have three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. And I thought that we had a judicial court, Supreme Court, which would not allow this blatant, obvious lawlessness of that election being stolen to continue. I believe that there were enough members on that Supreme Court who would stand up to the election fraud, the stealing that was obvious to everyone take place. However, since that time, I'm seeing that our Supreme Court has been silent. They won't even take up cases. They without any explanation as to why, they just say, we're not going to take it up. They just dismiss it. Like they're swatting away a fly or something. when because it is of such prominent importance, they owe it to the American people to at least explain why they are not going to take up a particular case. But they're just swatting them away left and right, and it's happening at the federal level and the state level also, where they're using this nonsense, you don't have standing, or that they will say, first, you don't have standing, and then they'll say, well, you should have brought it forward sooner. And so I'm just shocked at what I am seeing. But as you stated, Dr. Youngblood, it looks like this is leading up to the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are at a place now where everything is pointing towards accepting and building this one world government with one leader. And that, as we know, is going to be the situation during a great tribulation. So even Absolutely. Though it looks terrible right now, we as Christians should, as you said earlier, look up to the hills from whence our help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. We are living in a glorious time.
Absolutely. I am thankful you said that. I laugh out of a joy in hearing you say that, simply because as Christians, we should rejoice in the realization and the recognition that what God's Word has told us would happen is taking place. And though it is something that is difficult to face and horrific to think about, yet as believers, we need to rejoice in the realization and the recognition that God said it, that settles it, and it shall take place just as God said it's going to take place. And you're exactly right. During the days of the tribulation, there'll be a one-world church and a one-world government. The one-world church is found in Revelation 17. The one-world government is found in Revelation chapter 18. And that great whore, the apostate church, is what's referred to in Revelation 17. And it's the system, the Babylonian system, the governmental system that's found in Revelation 18, but it shall eventually, in the days of the tribulation, that globalist system shall absolutely collapse, and the whole world will be involved in that financial collapse of that one world globalist system. But what we're talking about in relationship to what we're seeing take place today is that one world church, that one world financial system is being set in place. We're watching as looking at a stage and a scene with the sheer curtains, and we're seeing through those curtains, and we're seeing the stage being set and everything put in place for it. But Congressman, I think about the fact when all of this started a year ago in relationship to the Americans being put in position of demand that we shut the churches down, demand that there be a lockdown of commerce and business. I've called it that, and most of those that are familiar with this broadcast will realize that I have already said that these days, which was last year, were simply training days for our citizens. It is training American citizens to be submissive to the coming complete collapse of our constitutional republic. For all of Americans that took the position, many took the position, Congressman, and to our listeners, many Americans, many Christians took the position, well, I'm willing to submit. After all, the government says I need to wear a mask. Oh, that's just a little thing. I'm willing to lock down my church. I'm willing to lock down my business because, after all, it doesn't affect me. I don't run a business. I don't run a gym. I don't run a restaurant. But ladies and gentlemen, the lockdown and the mask wearing, the mask mandate, is leading up to what will ultimately be a mandate to take the vaccination. And some, ladies and gentlemen, said no to the mask mandate. Some have said no to the lockdown, only to be persecuted and prosecuted as a result of that. We still have thousands of churches that are closed today. But, Congressman, I'm looking at an article that is absolutely refreshing. It says, priest warns congregation of persecution during the incoming Biden years. All Catholics who voted for Joe Biden should be ashamed of themselves, he said. Some of you, this is the priest speaking, some of you I know voted for someone who is now going to suffer and persecute the church for the next 4 years. That on top of the fact that he supports the utter slaughter of unborn babies, according to a priest named Kirby on December the 29th. He made the statement from his pulpit. He says, watch how our hospitals disappear because we will not follow government dictates. Watch how our support of unwed mothers disappear because of the constant and unreasonable regulations. Watch as Mother Church shrinks Watch how she is treated by the government, this coming administration. And those of you who voted for such an administration, listen to this, bear the responsibility of what you've done, because we're in it for it, folks, and they are already getting ready. Further, he says, in a sharp rebuke of the Catholics, Biden supporters, Priest Kirby, who led one of the daily invocations as the guest chaplain for the House of Representatives last January, asked if they somehow missed the lesson learned under Soviet communism, Nazism, and similar current regimes like the one in Venezuela. If you somehow missed that, he asked, have you been living under a rock someplace? End quote. That's exactly what I have said so often. Priests and pastors, spiritual leaders across America, have been silent about what's taking place. Therefore, multitudes in the congregation, anemic, unlearned, immature Christians, we're not familiar with, and even today, not familiar with what's happening, where it's going, and how we should respond. So, Congressman, I am thankful that you understand, you recognize, and we together are admonishing our listeners today that we need to realize and not forget that the election was stolen and that we're on the trajectory today to see being eviscerated our Bill of Rights. But I'm thankful that we have voices as yours today and others that are standing up and speaking out against what is taking place. But Alan Dershowitz says this, and I'll say this and then let you speak to it. Trump's foes prepared to tear up our Constitution. President Trump's opposition in Washington, the swamp, as he describes it, are so intent on destroying him that they are prepared to tear up our Constitution, contends constitutionalist scholar Alan Dershowitz. Quote, they know that under the Senate timetable, there's no realistic possibility that a Senate trial could be conducted and completed before January the 20th at noon. What they want to do is impeach President Trump without giving him an opportunity to defend himself at a Senate trial. Speak to that issue and what's on the fast track now with Nancy Pelosi and the Long Knives and the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party of wanting to impeach President Trump simply because he is president. What should we see from that? What we should think of that? How should we respond as Christians in watching this take place? And I don't know about you, Congressman, but as I sit back and see it, I sit back with a sense of helplessness other than the realization that God's in control.
That's right, Dr. Youngblood. You know, this whole process of impeaching President Trump is nonsense. It's asinine to even go through the process. And, just a little while ago, I would have said, well, it's not going to be successful anyway. It's not going to pass. Either the House or the Senate. Now I'm not so sure anymore because so many on the Republican side seem to have just folded and said, well, that's the way it is. When everybody knows that the presidential election was stolen and the Senate election in Georgia just a week ago was also stolen.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. And this is what gets me is that in Georgia, they knew everyone was watching. Everyone around the world, they knew we were watching, and they still cheated, as if to just throw it in your face and say, what are you going to do about it? Nothing, because the courts aren't going to do anything about it. There are too many on Republicans who will just stand down, and they stole that election. It was so obvious. Even though the ones who lost conceded and said, oh, well, that's just the way it is. So this process to try and impeach President Trump, I believe, is for this reason, Dr. Youngblood. I think Nancy Pelosi and others have this sneaky feeling down in the pit of their stomach that President Trump might actually be sworn in on January 20th. And they want to do whatever they can to prevent that from happening. And that's why they're going with this impeachment process. Otherwise, it makes no sense at all to do it.
None. In fact, you touched on it. Rush Limbaugh just recently said on his national broadcast that the Democrats are terrified. And this is the reason they're responding as they are. In fact, one writer puts it this way. The purge has begun. Where will it stop? Nobody knows. In the week since November presidential election, numerous liberals, leftists, and other opponents of President Donald J. Trump have called for a purge of him and all of his supporters across America. Just days ahead of the inauguration, President-elect Joe Biden on January the 20th, those purges have already begun in earnest. In the wake of the protest turned into a mob and then into a riot at the U.S. Capitol building, various media and high-tech companies have used this moment not to simply condemn the violence, but to remove the President of the United States and countless other Americans from their digital platforms. The demand for socialism is on the rise from almost young Americans today, this writer says. Those actions appear to be targeted and coordinated. It's a deeply disturbing trend, given that Biden and his fellow Democrats are less than 10 days from the effectively controlling the Congress and both and the executive branch. So with that being said, Congressman, what we're looking at is a push to purge this Christian, conservative, patriotic voice in America. And just as you alluded to earlier, at one point we had three branches of government, which is where our Constitution was set up and our organizational structure for the United States of America and a constitutional republic. But I see it today where we see all three branches under the control of a dictatorship mindset, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and others, and it seems as though the Supreme Court has surrendered their responsibility to defend the Constitution in the United States of America. And with the election being stolen, and it's open, it's clear. In fact, I've got documents that point out that 37% of the Democrats believe that the election was stolen. And a major percentage of those believe that say that if they had known about Joe Biden and the Biden family cabal with China, if they had known that, they would not have voted, even as a Democrat, for Joe Biden. But it's because of the shutdown by big tech protecting Joe Biden's election that's placed him in the position now of the possibility of being sworn in. But let me ask you a question that comes to at the forefront. There are other potentialities for President Trump to enact and to do and to carry out that will still salvage his position as being the rightly elected president of the United States. Tell me about those potentialities, the possibilities, the legalities in it, the constitutional aspects of it.
Well, we all have heard about what is called the Insurrection Act that is available to the president, where he can declare martial law, and he can say that because there has been an assault on the sovereignty of the United States of America, that he can activate the military and have military tribunals who actually will do the trials instead of our Supreme Court. I mean, that is constitutional. It is available to the president. Whether or not he will do it, I don't know. What I would say is this, Dr. Youngblood, I, for one, will not accept the inauguration of Joe Biden as our president. I will not accept it because I know it was stolen. I know it was a lie. I know it was cheated. And so there's no way I'm going to accept what is not the truth. And that is what I would be doing if I accepted him as my president, would be saying I am accepting the truth. Accepting a lie, and I'm not. The truth is that election was stolen. Whether President Trump will do that, I don't know. I would be so encouraged if he did. There would be that little ray of hope that we have. Now, in times past, Dr. Youngblood, this nation has gone through some very perilous times,
yes,
including our Revolutionary War, and then our Civil War. Those were horrible days. A lot of bloodshed, a lot of terror was going on. There was World War I and even World War II, and then we get into the 60s. I mean, those are horrible days that we saw that took place. And there was always that little just shining light that would bring us back from the brink. You know, there was Ronald Reagan, and then we have President Trump. And so it's kind of like God is always holding out that remnant who will not bow the knee to the idols and to the false gods. And I believe he has that remnant now, Dr. Youngblood. There's always that remnant, like the man who called and asked, when were your church services? He's a part of the remnant. You are, Dr. Youngblood, and others who will not bow the knee to Baal.
That's the very key to it. One of the things that we hear so much, and you have touched on it in your dialogue, we have some end of the Republicans just folding up the tent like a paper tiger and suggesting that Trump should just concede and praise Biden and call him and praise him for his election, etc. That can't be done. And there are a lot of the Republicans that are harping on Trump that, look what he did in that speech. He incited the riot and caused the problem. Well, that riot was caused as a result of the BLM that infiltrated and the Antifa that infiltrated, and not by the Trump supporters, generally speaking. True, there might have been a few of them that did some things that were wrong. But there's a cry from the rhino Republicans that say that Trump should not have done that. I'm wondering if some of these same ones, they'd been living at the time of the Boston Tea Party, how they would have responded to the tea being poured out. After all, it's just 3% tax. After all, that's enough that we should just swallow that and accept that and say nothing about it. I'm thankful that we have those that will stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be valiant, be visible, and victorious in the end. I'm thankful for that. I'm looking at an article here, and it's not just about the free speech, but it's everything that we call liberties in America today. Joe Biden says he will defeat the NRA while in office. Another article says Joe Biden expands gun control contingents in his cabinet. And Nikki Haley even says that likens Trump Twitter ban as the acts of Communist Party. Nikki Haley says the socialist, Marxist, communist banned President Donald Trump, something of the, just like the Communist Party would do. Former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley said Friday, quote, silencing people, not to mention the President of the United States, is happening across America. It's just like China, not like America, end quote. And that's exactly what we see taking place. But Congressman, we've got about 45 seconds left. I want you to take this time as we close the broadcast. Give our listeners hope, what we need to do, what Christians need to do, how we need to respond. Beyond just praying, that's necessary. What are your thoughts in this last 30 seconds?
I would say this, Dr. Youngblood. Even though our Constitution, 10th Amendment, said the power belongs to the states and to the people, just because the Constitution says that doesn't make it so. That is the truth. That is a fact. The power belongs to the people. And as long as we, the people, do not bow, then the power still belongs to us, and we are going to survive this and flourish.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman, thank you for joining us today. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking to meet you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.